A very good morning to you. Thank goodness it is Friday. It's a Friday, Friday the 7th of I nearly said August, the 7th of November. I'm always putting you back. So the 7th of November, a very good morning to you. Wherever you find yourself in this beautiful land of the brave. It's a very good morning to you. How are you doing? So wherever you are, in and outside of this country, and you can only listening to us being outside of this country if you have Eagle FM app. So if you have downloaded that, definitely wherever you find yourself, you may be listening to Eagle FM. So, and just do that as you're listening to me right now. Download that Eagle FM mobile app so that you can be connected wherever you find yourself. But anyway, good morning. It's a Friday. How are you? So hope you're doing well, and thanks for joining us at this point in time, at this time. And well, it's always a pleasure for us to have you on board and joining us at this time. And thanks for making us your number one choice at this point in time. So, my name is Mike Chauvelli. This is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what is really going on in terms of business, economics, politics, and finance. So, every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends and numbers that are making headlines. So we keep it clear, a little witty, and always curious, asking the questions that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying, spark meaningful conversation so that you can be part of the bigger conversations. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So our time is about 6 minutes past the hour of 8. Thanks for joining us, and we are coming to you live from the Ondangwa studio. So we have now crossed over to the mighty Oshana region. And thanks for joining us. I'll be with you until the hour of 10 o'clock when I will be handing over to Kamajana Kapofi, France. So I don't know why we say Kamajana Kapofi, but then we also have to say that France. Yeah? So, which that's just the funds because of Kamachona. Good morning, and thanks for joining us. So, all right, as usual, Friday is a very, you know, we go melt. It's like we go mellowed, you know what is mellowed? You know, we go a little bit, you know, slower and, you know, but dignified and all that. So, yeah, as usual, we start with what is happening, what happened in Africa, in the course of history in Africa, on our continent, on this day. As today is the 7th of November, what happened on this day in Africa. So, on the 7th of November in 1952, in a location called Galeshewe, that location is in Kimberley. Protester led by Dr. Arthur Letele and other members of the African National Congress, local branch from that location, occupied a racially segregated public spaces. You know, you remember that, you know, during apartheid, there were black only, white only, or so on, so on. So they blocked white only entrance of the main post office and sat on the benches reserved for the European only. All right. So Dr. Letele and seven others protest leaders were arrested that day. this sparked deeper unrest, and the next day on the 8th of November, police opened fire in that location in Galeshewe, and that led to some casualties. Now, this protest occurred during the larger defiance campaign of 1952, a nonviolent mass resistance against apartheid. So it marked one of the earlier collective act of civil disobedience against apartheid in South Africa, and help trace the mobilization that would continue through the 1950s. Yes, and also let's go to Tunisia. On the 7th of November 1987, the Tunisian Prime Minister Zine El Abidine Ben Ali declared that President Habib Bourguiba was medically unfit to govern, and assumed the presidency under the Article 57 of the Tunisian Constitution. Now, the event is sometimes referred to as the medical coup, okay? Because there was no bloodshed. So, because a panel of doctors declared Bourguiba incapacitated. So that's why it's referred to as a medical coup. Now, it was essentially, as I said, bloodless, and mark the end of Bourguiba. Bourguiba have this long rule since the independence in 1956. So, and the start of Ben Ali, 2 decades long presidency, which ended in 2011. So this coup reshaped Tunisia political trajectory, and the date, the 7th of November, became symbolically important in the country's political calendar during Ben Ali's rule. So, yeah, that's what we have for you this morning. That's all we have for you on this day in Africa. And what is our thought for the day this Friday? What is our thought for the day this Friday? So, much talking does not make you a leader. Much talking, if you're listening, whoever you are. So much talking does not make you a leader. And each one of us are a leader. But much talking, it doesn't make you a leader. That's our thought for the day. Now, the proverb means that leadership is not about speaking a lot. It's not about speaking a lot or making empty promises. So true leadership is demonstrated through meaningful action, listening, and leading by example rather than just words. So effective leadership, when we talk about effective leadership, normally engage with their followers. Our followers, they engage with their followers, understand their needs, and take a decisive step to guide and support them. So the proverb warns against confusing verbosity now or talkativeness with real influence and authority. So actions speak louder than words in leadership. So now the proverb encourages leaders to listen more, act with integrity, and build genuine trust and fellowship through deeds and not just speech. So much talking does not make you a leader. Hopefully, in your decision as a leader today, whoever you are also a leader wherever you are. So just understand that, you know, talkativeness verbosity, okay? what influences and authority, action speak. It's your action. Actions speak louder than words in leadership. So hopefully that's what you're gonna show today in your leadership. So good morning. That is our thought for the day. So yeah, what we can expect today in our show, on our program this morning, you know, the FESREN Namibia has a breakfast meeting, hosted a breakfast meeting, they host a midterm budget dialogue on national economic outlook. So we're going to look at some of the aspect that comes out there. There were some interesting, you know, issues or aspect that we need to look at in terms of our national economic outlook. So we're going to look at those. We're going to look into those. Your participation will also be part of the show. And if we have time, we're also going to look at Namibia interest payment that have to rise in this year, in this 2025-2026 calendar year or financial year, to rise to 14.4 billion. So looking at what is going on. All right. So, yeah, that's what we have for you this morning, and your participation, your contribution will be part of the show as well. Make sure that you follow and we unpack this together. So we will be back in a few seconds.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna iimatina omjo. Chikawa shafa sana na nongeshifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moya wo, ota ingongo tisamweni. Anageshifa ya Namibia, ombitombwa na wa olonjika. Seisa nina omayakuro nirandi soma yoe, yongeshifa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha ukakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa zetu. Moambo, dengira selma, kodaraje tatuimu. Datu, heari jamano tano, oniaji. Eagle FM, so high.
Well, good morning. Good morning. If you're just joining us, good morning, Namibia. Welcome to another episode of Unpacking the Day right here on Eagle FM. And it's your host. I'm your host, Big Mike Oshoveli, coming to you live to help you digest the big news of the day and give you the insight you need to better understand the world around you. Now, just last week, the FESREN Namibia hosted a high-level midterm economic breakfast, bringing together, you know, the who and who of the big guns in Namibia. So, bringing the key leaders, bringing together the key leaders from both the private and the public sector to unpack the 2025 national budget and discuss where Namibia and where Namibia's economy is headed, and more importantly about who shapes it, who shape the Namibia's economy, who benefit from it. So those are discussion. I mean, if you look at the discussion around, you know, those area. So it's looking at who shapes it, who benefits it, and where, and whether, and also whether we are really getting the growth we have been, you know, promised. So those are some of the things that were discussed. And the event was a positive initiative. It was a positive initiative, forward-looking event. Those who were in the attendance discussed about strong, you know, the strong domestic capital markets. They discussed about job creation. They talked about debt management and also the now collaboration between sectors, between the public sector and the private sector. So, and the third, and this now, this third, this midterm budget dialogue, as I said, hosted by the FESR in Namibia, I think brought together leaders from the government and the private sector in Windhoek to look at the state of our finance halfway through the year. But well, here on Unpacking the Day, so one thing that you should know, so our job here is not just to repeat, you know, what was said in those meeting or in those breakfast event. Our job here is to ask, you know, is to ask questions. Is Namibia's economic strategy one of these now, what we're looking at now? And this is what I want you to start thinking now. So one, is Namibia economic strategy, look, overall economic strategy, really delivering? Okay? As we're looking at this, is it delivering? Or do we need maybe to reform our economic strategy? So now we're looking at, even in terms of now, how we engage maybe private sector, how we create environment of, so whether the policies and other, and all that can create this environment which brings, you know, yesterday we were talking about growth, economic growth and the transformation from, and economic transformations. So now, is Namibian economic, our strategy really delivering? Or maybe we need to relook at that. The other things, maybe looking, now, think of this. Who is also, overall, look at the greater scheme of things, okay? Who is setting the agenda? Are we setting the agenda? Or there are some other people that are setting the agenda? So I just want you to think, because when you're not moving, maybe even moving at the pace you want, is someone else setting your agenda? Is someone else setting your agenda? So now think in terms of the global commitment, you know, how does that actually influence what we do in Namibia? So I just want you to really, really, really think that sometimes we look at in a narrow way in terms of, this is what happening, but there could be other larger, aspect that we need to look at. So who is setting the agenda and how do we now I'm asking the public, how do the public actually fit into, how do we fit into the bigger picture? So, now, I want you to grab your coffee or your tea or any soft drink. Okay? It's still early. Don't take that hot stuff yet. So, I know it's Friday. So, take the soft stuff. All right? Well, you can say, well, it depends. So, maybe that's for me is the soft stuff. All right? So, and here we will explore the meaning behind those messages that we hear from the breakfast event. We're looking at the gaps in the, is there things, the gaps in the conversations, you know, what is missing? And the big question you should be asking about the state of our economy. So we're all going to look at that. So, now, let's start from the very beginning, okay? Not from the very beginning, but so what happened, okay? So the finance minister, Mrs. Erika Shafuda, I think took the stage to stress the importance of the private sector as the, and she mentioned, I'm quoting, the engine of job creation. Okay, that the private sector are the engine of job creation. Now, she put emphasis on fiscal reform. Well, that's what I'm saying, that the reason why I'm asking also, that's why I was asking this question, is Namibia economic strategy really delivering? Which the minister also talked about, that, well, so one of the things she talked about is physical, financial reform, physical reforms, fixing procurement systems, you know, building a strong domestic capital market, and importantly, working closely with the banks and businesses to keep the country financially stable. So, yeah, and, you know, think of my question, the question that I asked earlier, you know, this, you know, is, that's also the question, is Namibia's economy strategy, you know, really delivering? Is it delivering? And who's setting the agenda? Who is setting the agenda? All right. So, yeah, that's where her focus on. She talked about it. There was a really emphasis on those kind of on those things. Now, the big headline from that event was also the redemption of Namibia's euro bond, essentially paying back a big chunk of debt to international lenders. Now, that's not. Well, that's not a small achievement, you know. Definitely for our country, it's not a small achievement, which we should be proud. We should be applaud. It's a signal. It signals financial discipline in the country, and also help maintain our credit worthiness. So, yeah, as I said, it's not a small achievement. It's something that we should be really, you know, be grateful about. Be proud of how the government managed, you know, to do that. As I said, financial discipline. Now, there was also a praise for President Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah's open door style of leadership. So her willingness to engage citizens directly at forums, at different forums in the regions as well. And, you know, at different sectors, in different sectors as well. So, but it is refreshing, eh? It is refreshing to hear, about accessibility in leadership. We're talking about, you know, our thought for the day. So one of that you are accessible, you are a leader that is accessible. But here, it's also where I post a little bit. Okay. Now, accessibility. Okay. Accessibility is only valuable if it leads to action that changes the daily reality of ordinary Namibians. That's in our thought for the day today, that, you know, there should be actions. So not just accessibility for the sake of accessibility. Accessibility can only be valuable if it leads to action that changes the daily reality for ordinary Namibians. In all these meetings, all this type of meeting, the forum, we're talking about the forum, and we're talking about, yeah, the forum, the PPPP, whatever, the three Ps, and any other. It's really looking at how do we then, yesterday we're talking about, and there were really great contribution yesterday. So talking about how do we then, this was also said by the ED of the Ministry of, of Agriculture Finance. So that how do we transform economic growth into, and many others on part of those discussion, into economic transformation, how, and into translate now into this economic development, improving a living standard of our people. So what I'm trying to say is that, you know, yes, accessibility, as I said, is only valuable when we see action that changes the daily reality of ordinary Namibian, because this is all about that. So this breakfast then, before we get into the details, so this breakfast was branded under the theme Revenue Realities and Tax Transitions. Yeah, so, and when you look at it, to the balancing act between, well, collecting enough revenue, reforming tax, you know, system, and keeping the economy attractive for investors. So basically, that's you know, that's the the kind of a ground where all this is actually being discussed. Yeah. So now, all right, let's do what we do here. Okay. So let's do what we do. First, let's start with the private sector as the engine of job creation. Okay. That's one aspect. I'm going to just look at some of those aspects that come out now. So the engine of job creation, one of the caller yesterday was telling me the theory of economic growth. All right. Now, the private sector, when we talk about the engine of creation, so the private sectors as the engine of job creation, it sounds great in theory. In theory, yes. So we're not denying that business employ the vast majority of people outside the government. So, and that's not the point. So we can't deny that. Now, but here's the reality check. Okay. Here's the reality check. And some of you are economists or people that work in these sectors understand maybe this better. Now, Namibia's unemployment rate, depending on which survey you trust, okay, has hovered around 36.9% or 37% overall. With youth unemployment over 40% for 4 years, all right? Now, the private sector has not been creating jobs. Okay, let me put it this way. So the private sector has not been creating jobs fast enough, you know, fast enough to keep up with the growing labor force. Otherwise, we wouldn't be in this situation. They haven't been. The private sector has not been creating jobs fast enough to keep up with the growing labor force that we're experiencing in our country. You know. So, and remember my first question. So when we're talking about all this, when we analyze all this, remember my first question. You know, so is Namibia economic strategy really delivering? So the private sector hasn't delivered. So in theory, the private sector as the engine of job creation, in theory, yes, you know, the private sector employ the vast majority of people outside the government. Yes. As I said, so when we look at that, when we look at in terms of Namibia now, it has not been creating jobs fast enough for us to be able to keep up with what the growing labor force that we see in the country. And why? Maybe the question would be why? Why is that the case? Well, now our economy, this is something that most of you also talked about. So our economy is heavily reliant on a few sectors. So, and you see now, remember, and that's my second question, you know. My second question is about whose agenda are on whose agenda actually are we, what did I ask? I want to have my thought. Who's setting the agenda? I want to get my thought right. Now, who is actually setting the agenda? So, and I want you to follow the thinking pattern. Okay? And to put this together. So when we're looking at that, now, as I said, we are reliant on a few sectors, the mining, the fishing, you know, when we talk about the mining, who's setting the agenda? You know, who's actually setting the agenda? And even when you're talking about fishing, you know, we export this raw. many of them, and when we look at, for example, agriculture, and even the mining and fishing and all that that we talk about, many of these sectors are vulnerable to global shocks, are volatile to global shocks. So when prices changes and swings, you know, that would affect these sectors. When climate change, when there's issues in terms of climate change, that definitely could affect all that as well. So I want you to think in a broader way how, in terms of our strategy now. So are we hopelessly just depend on, hopelessly just being affected by this and there's nothing that we can come up to? There's also a question of resilience that I'm going to talk about as well. Now, if you think of the service sector also, while it's growing, it's often concentrated. This is often concentrated in, for example, in urban centers. Leaving rural communities behind. Therefore, the issue of, we have an issue of unequal distribution and unequal and inequality in Namibia in terms of either service delivery or in terms of, you know, wealth distributions. So while the finance minister called for collaboration is welcome, which is actually welcome. Collaboration, that's what we need. So we must ask. I said we ask you questions here. That's my job, to ask questions for you to think. So now what we need to ask is, now we talk about the collaboration. Think of this. Is there a new institution, the institution that we're meeting now, that we have a meeting? I appreciate that the new administrations found it very important that we meet them, we do collaborations, you know, like in the early mornings group, there was a call up with David that we're talking about the difference between, you know, the state and the government, you know. So now when the minister called for collaboration, which I think it is a welcome way we should go about our economic strategy. So what is the plan now to diversify, if you want, if I can use that word, to diversify beyond the same old industries? So what is the plan? You know, so these are the same. You're asking the same institutions, all right, for collaborations. What is that we're changing? Okay. Collaboration, I understand, and I said that's welcome. What is that we are changing? Remember my first question. So what is that we are changing now? Because they haven't been, they have been there, this private sector, same private sector, but there hasn't, you know, we're saying they are engine of the job creation, but they haven't. Maybe not in the way that, not in the pace that we would love to. If the Namibian, our NDP6 talks about adding value to raw materials and pushing for manufacturing, and we see that the progress really, really, really is very, very, very slow, because this is the only way that we can create, you know, a massive job that people, you know, that being, you know, spoken about. And in the partnership that we talk about, when we think of those, the partnership and the forum that's been created, is to be able now to do this. And now my question is still, is what is the plan now to diversify beyond what we have been doing, beyond these same old industries? Yeah, think about it in more, you know, Otherwise, we will be in the circle. We will be in the same. In 5 years, we will be saying the same thing. That's what I'm saying, to say what would be different, okay, in this approach. So if you see that, you know, and probably is there, yeah, that's where I want you to, you know, see that different, yes, leadership and the push we love. But in terms of mechanisms, in terms of strategy, you know, what has changed to bring the result that we're looking for, that we want? Do we all seize that? Do we all, you know, see the strategy? And we can say, yes, yeah, this would bring, in the end, will bring what we want. She was also talking, she talked about, secondly, she talks about physical reform. Yes, procurement reform is sorely needed. just look at the past scandals where tenders were given under questionable circumstances, driving up cost for government. I mean, we're talking about the issue of middlemen. And definitely many of you don't have trust in the process anymore. That has eroded the public trust into this institution. And Namibia does have the Public Procurement Act, which actually designed to make the process. Now, this is to make the process fair, more fair, and more transparent. We have the act, the Procurement Act. But you know what we were talking about yesterday? The enforcement. The implementation. The enforcement has been inconsistent. So the oversight and enforcement has been really inconsistent. What is the point having a law? What is the point having a law if loopholes remain open? If you still have those loopholes remain open. So that's another thing that we're talking about. But now, as we said, look at that. Sometimes when we talk, remember the thought of the day, you know, when we talk about. So all these are integrated there for us to think. And the third was the robust domestic capital market. Okay? Strong domestic capital market. That's the goal of strong domestic capital market, which sounds very good, which sounds impressive. But let's translate that. Okay? This means we want a healthy financial system where Namibia invests in Namibia ventures. Okay, into our own ventures, and where business can raise money locally instead of going abroad. That's domestic capital market, strong domestic capital market. You know, financial system where Namibian invest in Namibia market or ventures or whatever, you know, innovation, and where business can raise money locally instead of going abroad. So, as I said, that sounds good. Currently, our capital market is still, you know, when you think of Namibian capital market, our capital market is very small. Dominated by a handful of commercial banks, you know, with limited product. Now, the commercial banks, with limited product, they have actually limited product for citizens beyond your saving account and fixed deposit. What else do you get? So as I said, yeah, it's very still small, and what else? Normally it's dominated by commercial banks. So and what we get, the product for you, is simply saving account. Or fixed deposit that you made. And Yes, there is the Namibia Stock Exchange. We have there is Namibia Stock Exchange. But seriously, including me, how many of you listening right now, own share there? How many of you that own share in Namibian Stock Exchange? Yes, these are the capital market that we have. How many of you then have share in Namibia Stock Exchange? Exactly. Yeah. Now, if we want to make capital market truly strong or robust, the ordinary Namibian must be able to participate meaningfully. Yeah. Not just big corporations, because currently you have actually big corporations and institutional investors that are actually participating, not ordinary citizens. And that's something also someone talked about yesterday, you know, linking to that. So if we talk about capital market, make a strong, really, really strong, ordinary Namibian must be able to participate. Participate meaningfully. It's not just participate having an account, having a saving account or a fixed deposit. Yeah? Participate meaningfully. So rather than those just, you know, big corporation and institutional investors. So it's one thing to say, let's have a strong capital market. It's another to make sure. That's why I said, who's setting the agenda? Remember, I'm asking this question looking at, now who's setting the agenda? Whoever's setting the agenda, who in this case, when we talk about this, those institutions are setting the agenda. The one that are dominating this, the commercial banks, are setting the agenda. Huh? So, as I said, let's think this carefully. And then there is debt management. Okay? That's also paying off the euro bond was great for us. It's great. But Namibia total public debt has more than doubled in the last decade. It doubled. Now it's sitting at roughly 140 billion. 140 billion. Now, the debt management strategy calls for keeping it below 60% of the GDP. Okay, 60% of the GDP. We are dangerously, dangerously close. Yeah? Now, think of this also, okay? And think this in a bigger picture. Now, cutting down on debt means either you're spending less, all right? Either you're spending less or earning more. You're either spending less or earning more. Or both. It could be both as well. Or both. And that require political, now it require political will. A political will in terms of that you're willing now to trim the waste that we see. You know, a lot of waste of money that we see. As I said, it require a political will to trim waste and also to broaden, to broaden the tax base. Now, let me give you an example. And we don't know how we waste money. Seriously. Now, think of this. There's an independence. It's the 31st of March. Independence is being celebrated in Katima. Okay? Now, every minister is going there. Okay, Independence Day, every minister is going there, every ED is going there, every government official is going there. Now, and each one of them are going with their own, each one is going on their own, with their own government vehicle. So think of now the fuel that's going to be used by the number of people that just are going for independence. number fuel that's going to be used. All right. Accommodation, food, S&Ts. Do you know how much millions that's going to be used just for people going to attend, just people attending Independence Day in 35 years, being already 35 years old? Eh? So that's a kind of, you need, that's why I said you need a political will to be able to say, look, hey, each region have your own, organize your independence. Eh? The president goes to one of the region, the president only. Eh? Why do you need all, if the minister or whatever is going there, you know, celebrate independence where you are in your region. If you're going there, if you want to go where the president is, unless it's the minister that is responsible for organizing that, that's just, you are going with work. But if you're a different minister, use your own car, use your own money. Yeah? So, but this is, you see how much we spend for people literally eating government's money just like that. You just need an event like that to spend. Yeah? Those is the waste. And then we cry, why our children actually sitting? Why the next time, why there are no medicine in the hospital? Why there are no medicine in the hospital? Why there are no textbook in schools? Why that road is not being done? There is not enough money. How much? So, and if you put all the money that people have spent going to independence, it's millions. And probably the books don't even need millions, but the money, where do you see where we spend it? Do you see the priorities? Come on, guys. So, let's be real. Now, let's look at this from different angle, okay? Let's look at this from different angle. Now, event like this, like the breakfast, hosted by a big financial player like FirstRand Namibia, they tend to frame the economic conversation. When you listen, you know, they tend to frame the economic conversation in ways that align with the interest of the banking sector. And I'm not blaming them. All right. So when you listen, it's more that it's aligned with the interest of the banking sector. And that's not necessarily bad. It's not necessarily bad. Okay. But it means that the narrative will naturally highlight things like capital market development, debt repayment, investor confidence. Do you understand? It's more, you know, highlight those kind of, you know, those kind of things. But what is missing from the head? When you see, it's aligned with that. But what is missing? You know, what is actually missing from here? From the headline. What is missing is actually the social reality. What is missing is the social reality. So Namibia, we talked earlier, Namibia remain one of the most unequal society in the world. So in this kind of meeting, do you hear that? And do you speak about, you know, how you, as I said, you hear the capital market development, you know, debt repayment, investor, but we're not talking about the social realities. We're one of the most unequal society in the world, according to the Gini coefficient. So if collaboration between government and private sector is to meant anything, now the collaboration that we're talking about, if it to mean anything, it must address the inequality. It must address the inequality head on. And that means not just talking about growth, but also distribution. Eh? Don't just talk about growth and talk about distribution as well. Eh? Yes, this is the growth And this is how we see that it's distributed. The social realities. The private, you know, and now, the public-private partnership, that's also another area, are often praised as a win-win, right? Always praised as a win-win. But sometimes, really, and this requires you really to think, not just take it this emotionally. But sometimes they become vehicle for profit. They become a vehicle for profit over public good. Yeah? Especially if contracts aren't transparent. Yeah? If contracts are not transparent enough. So this can be also become a vehicle for individual in a public, in a public sector, and also for private sector. And we have now the Procurement Act. We have the, as I said, reinforcement that I was talking earlier on. We have the Procurement Act, which supposed to guard against that. But the enforcement? Eh? And also the other thing is that the civil society must have, and this is very important now, the civil society must have that watchdog role to ensure accountability. Because how do we ensure accountability? How do you expect people who are involved to account for themselves? So we need civil society. We need to strengthen civil society now to actually have that watchdog role to ensure accountability. Think about it. Really think. If you're a lawmaker, think about it. Yeah? Think about it. Then also, we should be cautious about over now. This is what I was talking earlier. Over-relying on the resilient narrative. Yeah? Resilience is good. But it can be political sugar-coated. It can be political sugarcoating that mask. It could mask that urgent structural problem, you know? The structural problem, like someone was saying yesterday as well. Yes, Namibia bounced back from shocks like drought and pandemic impact. But the recovery sometimes is often uneven. Urban areas bounce back faster than rural regions. So, and in that, leaving that gap. So, yeah, these are some of the things that we need to really, really, really to address those structural, as I said, those structural problems. As someone actually put it yesterday, very well. So now quickly. So what does this all mean for, because always when you're looking at this, you have to ask yourself, what does all this mean for you listening right now in Chivorongo, listening right now in Oshakati, listening right now in Ludres or in Katima? What does all this mean? Where all these meetings, what came out that really have something for you? Now, it means something. It means that economic decision made in Windhoek, economic decision made in Windhoek boardroom affect the prices you pay. It affect the prices you pay. The taxes that come out of your salary. Mentioning of a salary. That remind me something. You know, it affects the taxes that come out of your salary. And whether your children find a job when they leave the school, for example. So it affect everything. It means that when the government talks about physical reform, it might later mean changes in VAT or income tax rate. You don't know. So affecting your monthly budget, you know? So it means the debt repayment priorities could shift spending. Eh? So the debt repayment priority could shift spending away from services that you depend on. Like clinics, there might be no medical, there might not be enough medicines. Like schools, like road maintenance, the potholes that you, even in Windhoek, or not only in Windhoek, but they're saying we won't be able now to, you know, to do all the potholes because we don't have enough budget. Yeah? So we do the errors and the Clan Windhoek and all that. But you guys in Havana and all that, you know, you can wait. We don't have enough money to do. So the road maintenance, it's all definitely have impact on you. Eh? And if you sit and think, well, you're mistaken. All right. So now, yeah, it means that if domestic capital market grow, but still remain inaccessible, if it remain inaccessible to you, to ordinary people, you may watch investment benefits flow past your, flowing past you without actually touching your household, you know. So you have to understand this. All right. So what do you think? How do you take this? So 083-3666 is the number, to get to me in the studio and also to have your contribution. It's Friday. I know it's always very slow. But let's have a conversation. So what do you think? 083-3666-091. It's 9 o'clock. It's 9 o'clock and you are welcome, to come through. 083-3666-091.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye. The eye.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna imatina omjo chikawa shafa sana na longeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana iye moyawo ota ingongotisa mwene anageshifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa olonjika seitha nina omayakuro nirandisoma yoe yongeshifa yoe okupipiramo Eagle FM Media House mwe tuende pimemeha uka kombanga nina kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa betu moambo dengira selma kodara heta tuimu datu heari hamano tano oniyaji Eagle FM the high.
No. All right. So welcome back. This is Eagle FM and you are listening to Mike Osovedi on Unpacking the Day. So, yeah. Looking at what we have talked so far, what we're looking at, what we discussed so far, maybe let's boil it down to all what we talked about, boil down to, you know, that, we're talking about now the breakfast that was hosted by First Rent Namibia. It's boiled down to collaboration is the key. It's the key, but it must go beyond. It should go beyond the polite speeches. You know, it needs bold action to tackle now unemployment, inequality, and economic diversification. So it should go beyond that and to be able to tackle those issues. So we talked about the physical reform. When we talk about that, it should be real. It must be real. Plugging, you know, plugging procurement loopholes, you know, those loopholes that are there, but also broadening the tax base fairly and cutting waste. I talked about the waste that is in public spending, cutting those as well. So the capital market need, democratized. Doesn't sound right. Now, so what I'm saying, what I mean is that so that our ordinary Namibian, so that the ordinary Namibian, not just the wealthy one, not just these big corporations, can invest and benefit as well. Eh? So that's why I mean it should be democratized, you know? So yeah, debt management, that was also something that we spoke about. It's urgent. It's always urgent because too much borrowing definitely will limit our future choices. There will be time when we have to cut certain things because of our borrowing. So that needs some urgent. The debt management, it needs some really, really some urgent. So, and watch the narrative. Resilience is good. But we must not ignore the deep-rooted structural challenges. We should not ignore that. And So, what do you think? So, what do you think if you could set Namibia now? Let me ask you this, okay? So, if you could set Namibia's next budget priority, okay? So, would you choose debt payment, infrastructure spending, job creation? Job creation programs, or reducing taxes. So what would your priority be if you were now to set Namibia next budget priority? What would you choose? Would you choose debt repayment, infrastructure, you know, infrastructure spending, job creation program, or reducing taxes? So let's have a conversation. 0833-66-0833-66-091. So because economy decision only work best when the public understand them. So if we understand them, it's going to work better. And that put us in the position where we can also demand accountability. So let's have a conversation. 0833-66-091.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the R.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna ii matina omjo Chikawa shafaa sana nana nongeshifa ya eshiwike moshiwana Iye moyao ota ingongoti samwene Anangeshifa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa oronjika Seitha nina omayakuro nirandisoma yoe Yongeshifa yoe okupitiramo Eagle FM Media House Ngoe tuende tuimeleha uu kakombanga nina Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa betu Moambo dengera selma Kodara hita tuimu Datundatu heari hamano tano Oliyaj Eagle FM So high
Mwaria pa mwaipeni Where are you? 0833-66-091 All right. It looks like I'm going solo today. Okay. It's Friday. People get paid. People still have money, man, from last week. Maybe. Nah. Probably people are broke already and they they can't even afford an hour to call. Huh? Come on, guys. Don't be like that. All right. 083-366-091. So let's have a conversation on this, on these issues. All right. Okay. Let's get, this is something that I always wanted to do yesterday, but I couldn't get a time. Maybe let me, you know, for those, you know, let's get into this. We're talking about the, when I was talking about something that I was talking about, that, that debt management is urgent. Because remember what I said, because, you know, if we borrowing too much would eventually limit our future choices, you know, so you won't be able to spend, in critical, service, area that are needed. Because, you know, because you're trapped in debt. Okay. Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yeah, morning, Mike.
Good morning.
Friday.
It's a Friday.
Yeah.
So Friday, hey. I might not just come to work anymore.
Is it? Why not? your listeners are not coming to contribute to you. What is it?
No, it's okay. I know there are those listenings, but Sunday.
Yeah, but they are listening. It's only that.
But for somehow, you know, getting engaging, Friday is always very, very slow. Yeah.
It's always very slow.
Yeah.
Yeah. The issue of Namibia is, I don't know. Yes. Understanding.
React to my, to my really, given all what we talked about, because what I was trying to look at and really trying to communicate, it's looking at whether we're talking now, physical reform, we're talking about, private sector as an engine of job creation, looking at all this kind of thing. My question was, at the beginning I was looking at, is Namibia really, looking in the greater scheme of things, and those maybe who understand this better, is Namibia economic strategy really delivering? And this is not a question looking at in terms of blaming. It's kind of like looking on in terms of evaluating ourselves. And you know, when you are doing something and over time and you know, this is what I wanted to achieve, but I haven't. Is it working? Is it what I'm doing working? I think that's what behind my question. Is Namibia economic strategy really delivering? And I need to see somebody. I need to, I think something that I need to talk to an economist, to, in more detail. Yeah.
Yeah. But on your question, it look like no.
Yeah.
It is not, because on the look of the local service givers are saving the country. Those companies, they are not a lot.
Yeah.
In terms of IPO, if you go to the stock exchange, for example, and you look at those companies that are looking for people to fund their project or their product for that.
Yeah.
So on the look of things, as we have for the food processing or food security, look at the Bokomo and Namibi Mills.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think they are even contributed in 30% or 40% of the household. So those are the problems that, most of these companies, they are not from here.
Exactly.
And for you to, as I was giving you an example of yesterday, that if you look at the sub-Saharan African countries, that they are good on informal market, they are getting a few cent from the informal market revenue. Which is BIPA is just issuing the property interactive to what, which is your name of your company.
Yeah.
But in terms of servicing what you are promoting on that form, it doesn't really, operating. And that is the issue now of Memeshafuda to say, yeah, the engine of this or the is a private sector thing to come up with and look at the services that they are needed by the Namibians. It's not easy to look at it because, as I said, if you look at those companies that are on, that are public are looking for money in the Namibian Stock Exchange, they are not even a lot. Yeah, that is the problem. But if you see those companies that are saving Namibia, they are on Johannesburg Stock Exchange.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where they're getting money is not here.
Exactly.
In South Africa.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those are the issues that,
the whole question of, and sometimes, sometime I look at that, maybe, Mike, you might be too critical when you look at this. But think of now, when we talk about the private sector are the engine of job creation. And I say, take out the government parastatal. Now, take out the government parastatal, take out the investors, you know. Now, who are the private sector? who are you left with?
Yeah, as I said, if you look at the government capital fund,
yeah,
is there, but is hijacked by those who have beautiful proposal,
yeah,
or well connected into the panel review, which is now in the banks where the government are channeling the money. But if you look at also in the Minister of Trade when it was funding those SME people,
yeah,
it ended up not getting the money back. They losing about 700 and something million. They didn't get it back. Those people, they didn't operating. They disappear.
Yeah.
From the edge of the market now. So, and if you look at the agri bank, it was also the same. We're funding a lot of people. The example I can give you, abattoir for Vetflay, when it was given by Uri Watwat, he was funded by the agri bank. And that guy, maybe just, if you're finding him now, he's just a multi-millionaire doing his buying cars and all of that. So he didn't even change to another business that can contribute it or creating jobs into other Namibians. So the truth is not on our mind. I don't know whether people really consider Memeshafuda or others that are they really understanding what they are talking about.
Exactly, and that's also what I'm saying. I said, well, in terms of that, you know, whatever private sector create job, in theory, they employ the vast majority of people outside the government. But when we look at the reality in our country, they haven't created job fast enough really to keep up with the growing, you know, labor force.
Yes, because if you look at even the what that SOE list of companies,
yeah.
If you look at in the green scheme, for example, producing fruit and veg, what where are they going to processing those type of food for them to become a food? Because most of these people that are listening to even in your program.
Yeah.
They are just talking about they are producing food, but you don't know that food to be on the table. It needs a lot of money.
Yeah.
And exactly. the government or the Minister of Finance or Minister of Trade or SME itself or Development Bank, they are not funding those guys who are purchasing those machines of even make milk.
Mm.
Eh? So you see now, how do you expecting the milk to be all over the country if it's only one farm that are producing milk, but they cannot put in on the tin so that it's enriching every Namibians,
yeah,
or be on the market. So those are the problems that the public itself, they cannot funding this, they cannot do this IPO with the Namibia Stock Exchange. Because I cannot fund something that I know this product is no. If I'm doing a research on my own to go to Pick and Pay or to go to ShopRite and they look at how many people are buying the Namibian product, they are not a lot. So at the end of the day, how will I get my money back if this company are not selling?
Yeah.
So those are the type of things that I'm saying. I don't know whether people they are understanding or it's a lack of what, of information that is not available, or the data for the research data is not there. Because I'm not trusted in the economic people in Namibia. This one, I'm already understanding that they don't understand much about it.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about the reality of saying the company that are processing food in Namibia, how many do you think a Namibian product that are demonstrated excepting the Windhoek beer? Only Windhoek beer that is on top of selling in Namibia. But other products of Namibia are stealing on top 50. Most of the products that are coming first, they are from South Africa. So those are the problems that you cannot rely on.
There are those products that are branded Namibian, but they are actually produced in South Africa.
They are producing in South Africa, you see now where the job is. That is the example I give you just today, that if you look at the Ndunga that a person said, don't bring Ndunga that they talk, tattoo decay in the 7.
Yeah.
It's because they want also to use it as a firewood for those Unimamanya Sharapove.
Yeah.
So those are the type of things that you produce to see your flag on the product, which is not purchased in Namibia, which is not a contributed in job creation in Namibia.
Yeah.
So those are the type of things I'm saying. Yeah, we talk enough, but on the look of things, people are not understanding. Because if you are doing this story of theory, as you are saying, the owner of the company is the one that are richer than the one that is than the in the country that is saving.
Yeah.
It doesn't really adding up much, but if a person is creating jobs, which means if those shops are growing, they are. Because if you look at those wholesale that were coming from South Africa, like Metro, for example, at the beginning, they were coming to supply and helping our small business and to buy from them in cheaper price so that they can also mark up.
Exactly.
But who destroying that Metro? It's a government. The government they allow others ShopRite to do this to selling small and the wholesale.
Exactly, and then they're destroying actually the small business.
The small business, yes. So those are the problems that I don't know whether we are discussing with the and using the data on it, because the last of at the time of Trump's story in Nigeria, we were even discussing about it with one guy in UK who was saying, no, Nigeria have 200 million people.
Yeah.
And they are contributed much to economy of the world.
Yeah.
Because they are buying those products from outside Nigeria and resell it. The government of Nigeria are making money out of these people. The world are making money out of these people. While the country like Namibia, they don't do that. And because as if you are doing business, Mike, if you end up ordering things from Turkey, even a cloth, people will not buy it. They say they know it's a Chinese. Yeah. You see now, you end up your man selling it for $5 while you are buying it for $20, just to getting some little out of it. Those are the problems that we have in this country. To say, if private sectors will not grow, people that are winning tenders, they will not creating jobs. Because they know, if I'm opening up a shop for toothpick, I will lose because nobody will buy my toothpick. You see now.
And the other thing, maybe you can touch on a little bit also, is the Namibia private
the forum.
The PP,
The forum, it is nowhere in any government structure to influence. It's an advisory body, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It is nowhere in a government in a structure to say what they say. I can listen to it. You understand? You can come up with all these things. You can have all the tax force and they come up with all these things. If I'm running a ministry, do I have to listen to that? It's a suggestion, you know?
Yeah, it's a suggestion to say, okay, this way, because there was a time, I think, the middle of the 2000, somewhere there, I was discussing with one lady who was running in CCI.
Yeah.
So we said, yes, we want to know everybody in Namibia so that when we go out, we know what these people want.
Yeah.
All the business people, they must sit with us, we discussing this issue. But look at what happened. The government itself is the one that is killing those things. The PPU, public partnership is the one now. For this moment now,
yeah,
most of the their producer, or how do I call it, the people that they are funded or the people that they are advising,
yeah,
is the one that is funding outside now. Is the one that is on the list of the 200 million people, millionaires in Namibia. So if you look at that now. How do Meme Shafuda expecting those 200 millionaires to creating job if you are not sitting with them? And I ask them that, okay, where are you getting the money?
Mm.
What type of product have you sold so that we can channeling with you with other countries? Like, I look at the oil industry when I was meeting with some boys from Kazakhstan, because Kazakhstan is also doing good. We got in the same independent, and them, they are good on now, on infrastructure, petrol issues. They come to Namibia. They send the young boys.
Yeah.
All of them, they were just in age of 25, 21, 20 what. They come to look at what is Namibia's progress. But when they look at it, they said, wow, these people, they are very, who is dominated the market? No, it's FDI. Yeah, that is where now they end up seeing that the local not having opportunity,
yeah,
or they are not interested in to be a part of the economic activity. So those are the problems that we have in this country. Those are the problems that we don't have people that are interested. We have more people. I look at just the textile industry, for example.
Mm.
People are crying too much. They're expecting. I don't know how much they're expecting from the government. You have the machine, you have the opportunity of designing, but them, they are the one that is complaining.
Yeah. Eh?
So at the end of the day, you're giving others the opportunity. The more you cry, the more you're giving PEP, the more you're giving Ackermans to do the same thing that you're supposed to do.
Exactly.
So those are the problems that, Mike,
yeah.
I look at it and I say, you know, the people, they don't understand. Because if you look at me, Netumbo says a comment on this school funding, registration funding and tutor thing. If you look at it, it was already beautiful thing because it's existing already. There is a fund already from NASA.
Yeah.
But when she do a comment like she's fearing something. Which means somebody who shared the information with Meme Ntumbo didn't explain to her that, no, the money was already there because people were getting refund is something that you're using before.
Yeah.
You understand? You're using for registration and you get it you're using it on February and you get it back on October or August. Mm. You see now? Eh? You pay it back to the person that is paying for your registration.
Yeah.
So, but now the government changed it to pay it to making money available on the same time of registration. You see now. But if you look at the comment now, Meme Ntumbo, it looks like she's fear and she's she's blaming now that, no, I didn't say that. That's why I'm saying the information are not sharing in the way that people were supposed to be shared with the public. So those are the problems that Meme Shafuta, she is saying, and I'm regretting that even Ipumbu Shimi was sharing a lot of money with the public, but the money are not reaching to the SME. Because of the what? Because of the local bank. So those are the problems that we have in this country. Those are the problems that there is no monitoring and enforcing those policies.
Those
are the problems we have. And we don't have even a disciplinary action to say that this one you are violating, this one you are not violating. So those, all those things need to be discussing with the public. Let the people know. Some maybe they have problems of listening.
Let's see if someone coming through.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. 0833-66-091. Our time is about 29 minutes past the hour of nine. It's Friday. So normally it's very, 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 very slow, but well, you can come through. And on Friday, I let you talk other things that as long as they related or to what we're talking about, even if not exactly what we're talking about. So, but I'll let you, you know, have your opinion. 0833-66-091. Yeah. So it is, you know, And as I said, even when you're talking about, you know, those things are good. Seriously, nobody actually dismissed them. Kind of like, you know, but sometimes you ask, like as I said, with the private partnership, you know, forum, it's not part of a government structure where you're just giving. You can give your opinion and do all the what you bring may be very helpful. You may have data that to help the government actually to decide otherwise, but you don't have any impact legally, or how would I put it? Yeah.
Very good morning to you. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Morning, Mike.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
Good.
Yeah.
I heard people are actually not taking up opportunities.
Yeah.
I don't know whether is it because of the barriers from the police perspective, or is it that people perhaps do not have the required capacity or interest to take up those.
What do you think, Angobona? Why are the people not taking up that opportunities? Because the environment is there. The government create environment. The government have the policies. All those things are there. But sometimes, as we said, the enforcement of those policy, the people who need to enforce this policy, are they not competent enough to do that? And you know why?
There's no way even if the police are there, you need to enforce them, because you might not force people to take up the opportunity if they are not willing. But the environment is created to be conducive, like he said, the last caller said.
Yeah.
But then, to now compile them, to force them to take up those opportunities, is a different thing. Of course, maybe you need to mobilize them, to convince them that here, these are the instruments that are made available. Even on the commercial bank, there was a time when we were told by some of the economists here that yes, some of these commercial banks, they want to extend a free collateral security. But is this not singing in the mind of the entrepreneurs or those who might want to take up those opportunities? Or is it that perhaps people do not understand the content or the benefits that comes out from there? that come out from there? Or what is the issue? Because, like, if people are not taking up those things, other people coming from outside and they see the opportunity hanging and this hanging fruits, they will take them up. Because there's nothing that you can do. If people outside, from outside can see this opportunity and we are not seeing them and we are not grabbing them, whose fault is this one? Is it education or information that are not getting to the people, or the people are not just interested, or they don't see the benefits of taking up? Because if, for example, they mobilize themselves, mobilize the resources, and we have even heard that even the, when it comes to marketing or you getting into partnership with some other people from outside or within our domestic economy, those mechanisms are there to help us to facilitate those programs, I mean, those initiatives. But you still find only few people. But maybe there are more. Maybe just because we do not know how many have taken it up. Like in the issue of tatashimi during those pandemic, when the money was really decentralized to informal, to those small business and things like that, and the government came up with subsidies, and you still find people now saying, no, there are no opportunity. Even those who are well organized. Say, for example, like Nanoba, it's a Namibian company, and many, many others.
Yeah.
But you still find out that they haven't even taken up one of the green schemes as they were protesting. Or have they taken up one and then now say, yes, here we are willing, and we are taking up this, and we are lacking here. Maybe it's the capacity or the financial issues or whatever. I'm not seeing the things coming up. So maybe those that we have not known, maybe they are doing so. But the ones that are known, and they went even to Tadashimi, say, yes, we cannot allow these things to go into these things, because these things are in the market, the free market.
Yeah.
If they are in the free market, and anybody can take it up, even those who are already established. So with this youth fund, I just do not know the figure now, but I have seen the figure of the millions that were dished to those people who were successful candidates.
Yeah, 14 something million, yeah.
It's not a lot, and there's still some. The money that is left unutilized is still kept there. But are we really organizing ourselves to take it up? I don't know. So I think some of these instruments to facilitate our getting into those ventures are made available. The policy environment seems to be conducive, but we don't see to take it up. I don't know why. So if there are issues that are preventing people to take up those things, people let them bring them to the fore so that they can be addressed.
Yeah, exactly. So those are things. So what are these issues? So because what we want to reduce poverty. We want, we want employment. We want, what are these bottleneck, because sometimes there are money. Sometimes there are policy that create environment for people to be, but you just say, what is going on? You know, and that need to be, because we can't go on.
We can't go on like that.
You know?
That's why people outside, when they come here, you meet them and say, oh, you guys, the Namibian, why are you so adamant or not, taking up these things? Your environment is not like ours, like Nigeria, like many other countries. But you guys must thank God for this environment. So that you get surprised that why our people, is it because of lack of education or information or what? But that cannot be a general issue. So maybe creating awareness and say, yes, here is the Fish National Bank. I know they sometimes give us problems, those people. But there are times when they know that the commercial, I mean the Development Bank of Namibia through Bank of Namibia, they are making this instrument, financial instrument, available. So I don't know why we are not taking them up. Is it because of what, some certain barriers? Is it because of what? We need to investigate and understand why are the barriers, why are our people not taking up those opportunities? Is it a capacity of skills or what is it?
All right.
Good.
Thank you for coming through.
Welcome, sir.
Our 3336091. Our 3336091. So it's Friday. You are welcome. You're welcome to come through, have a conversation, you know, either on, especially on what we're talking about. Okay. So where am I? All right. So you can jump in anytime, with any point related to what we have talked with the item that we have already covered. You're most welcome to come through. That's all right. Let's look at the rise, the Namibia's interest payment, which will, we're talking about that the nation's growing debt burden and the rising cost of interest payment. Now you probably heard the latest from the finance minister Eric Chafuda. Erika Chafuda, who recently told the lawmaker that Namibia's interest payment on debt are projected to hit $14.4 billion by the 2025-2026 financial year. So now this is set to account now when you look at the budget, that's set to account for about 15% of the total government revenue. So about 50% of that it's going to interest payment. 15% of your total revenue goes to interest payment, just to make sure that you understand that. Yeah. And let me tell you, when the government budget start to feel the pinch from paying off debt, you know, it is something we need to take. I think it's something we need to take seriously. All right. This is something that we need to take seriously. Let's see the details. Look beyond sometime, as we say here, look beyond the numbers and what does this mean for our economy and ultimately for you and me. So now let's just get into it. Let's just unpack this a little bit. Now, so what exactly we're talking about? What exactly we're talking about here? So to put it simply, Namibia, like many other countries, it's not specific to Namibia, like many other countries, we borrow money to fund projects and cover our expenses and cover expenses. So, but borrowing isn't free. You know, borrowing is not free. Just like when you take out a loan, so you have to pay it back. And on top of that, there's interest payment. Yeah, so there is interest payment. So in Namibia's case, the interest payment are eating up. They are eating up a bigger slice of the pie every year. All right? So the interest is actually eating up the bigger pie, the bigger slice of the pie every year.
Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, my God.
Are you still sleeping? I know it's Friday.
No, I was just busy with something and you know, for the 2 days I decided not to participate and just wait. Just listen.
So welcome. Yeah.
So yesterday I thought you come to the point of Nigerians. I mean, the 2 days that, because I thought you come to that topic, but it's fine.
Yeah.
But you know, on the topic that you are actually having now.
Yeah.
I would always say,
the one of interest.
If all countries under the democracy systems,
yeah,
are in debt, even the United States,
yeah,
itself is in debt. Who is the creditor? The creditor. If we find out from them, then we will obviously understand as to why are we not
able. Who is the lender or the creditor?
Who is the lender? Who is the creditor? Who gave credit out?
Yeah, yeah.
Where do you... you see?
It's bank. It's like the GIP of this world. You know, pension funds.
It's IMF. Let's say IMF.
Yeah,
International Monetary Fund.
World Bank, IMF. Yeah.
And then... the World Bank. When you say the World Bank, that means each and everybody has got a stake there or either a share.
Yeah.
So one would thought that once you go there and borrow money, your interest will be a little bit lower because you're part of it.
Well,
but you remember the other day, like, I was telling you that...
Are you part of the bank?
That is now the question.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah.
You remember, most of the African
countries. You're part of the bank because you invest in it, but you're not part of the bank as a shareholder. Yeah.
You remember, I understand you what you're saying. It's a valid point.
Yeah.
You remember the other day, what did I say? These guys are the African countries. They wanted a reform from there.
Mm.
I mean, they say the IMF and the World Bank must be reformed. And the reason that they gave is that they are not a shareholder as it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
And when they borrow money, they got stuck in there. They are unable to pay because they claim that they pay 8 times than the Europeans' counterparties.
Yeah.
You see? And that is the problem.
Yeah.
This, so,
you are seen as you are more risk to be given money compared to European. You can borrow the same money, but your interest that you are paying is more than your counterpart. Yeah.
You see,
because you're coming from a risk environment.
Yeah, we are regarded as the third part of the country. We are the third countries.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that is what Trump used to say. Even if he's talking to a black person, he's saying, you are from a third race. You don't understand. That's why you are from the race. You are from the third race. You see?
Yeah, but he hasn't said that directly. I think it's inference, but I don't think...
You have heard it, ne?
I said he hasn't said that. He hasn't said that directly. Maybe inference. Somebody
he
making
has said
an inference.
That I was listening. You see, I follow Trump each and every day. was something that when he was saying that he wants to put the defense in cities in America, and then a black journalist is asking, why are you, are we under the state of emergencies? Why are you deploying, defenses in our city? That is the answer that he gave.
Yeah.
I follow that guy very well. But that is the case. Nigeria, they got in debt because they were convinced by the British and the American to go and borrow money from the IMF, and their refinery that they were having, these guys, they put terms and conditions. They said, they are no longer going to supply parts for the refinery. Because much of the Nigerian oils must be refined in British and also in America.
Yeah, but
mostly in America.
But the refinery, it's a private, it's owned privately, not by the government.
Oh, you must go through that thing and understand.
Yeah.
That is the reason why Dangote now, the reason why we are having this crisis under the pretext that Trump wants to come and save the Christians. Since when does he care about Christians? It is because I don't understand why you also don't understand it, because you will have the same topic here. We say Dakota's
What is that I don't understand? I'm not following. Yeah.
I am saying, when you were saying, is it the Christians really or is it something else? And then I came in and I said, no, it's not the Christians. It is because Dangote, or it is because of the oil. America used to refine Nigerian oils.
Yeah, no, but when you're saying like that, you know, I understand for an argument's sake from on the radio side. So when you said, well, it is oil, because when the other person is making a statement that it is, we want to come because of your persecution of Christians. So now when you said, no, it's not because of the persecution, it's because of oil. Because you have no, we can understand that, you know, it's not really, this is just maybe a cover-up, but you can't prove that. Do you understand? But you understand in the context where this is happening, you know, it's like people said they're going for humanitarian, whatever. This is kind of framed as a humanitarian one, but there are other things that are more interested, you know,
yeah.
We know that. Problem is that, you can't, you know, you can't prove it. You understand? Yeah?
But, you know, the Americans have to read things when they think of that. Even if we can't prove it, in Palestinians, they are killing the Christians. In Syria, they are killing the Christians. In Iran, they kill the Christians. In Yemen, they are killing the Christians. The government in Syria now is ruled by a second commander of Al-Qaeda. And they were the first to recognize that. And they are persecuting, even right now, they are persecuting the Christians. Who is so blind not to understand what the Americans' interest in Nigeria?
Mm.
Hmm? In Lebanon, they are doing the same thing. It's just clear. That's why I said it's the same playbook that they are playing with the Iraq and all that. The whole thing, Nigeria right now, is de-dollarizing because they are no longer getting that, because they when the Nigerians were convinced to go and borrow money, that is when the economy happened, because they are struggling to pay this interest.
Yeah.
You see, every country is hold hostage is because of the money. They were convinced to go and borrow money. And once you borrow money, my friend, it's done. That's why I said no country has ever borrowed money and success in the world of democracy. You are lying. And this is where I'm saying why the communist countries don't have debt. Why they don't have credit? Do your research and find out.
Yeah. What are you? Are you also saying that there is not a democratic country that is flourishing?
No.
And they have actually borrowed, you know, money from this institution. Is that what you're saying?
No. There is nothing. I told you the other day, British. They are. Pound is based on is aligned with the gold. Their economy is in shambles now.
Yeah,
they are going to borrow money, and then their credit, their debt is about 2.5, they are around. But the agencies, the rating agencies, how long does it take for a country to accumulate such a money? How long? Such a credit. Yeah. And compared to what we have, 140, 160, it's mere a stone in the water.
But you're also comparing apples and orange, seriously, in terms of economy of each country. You can't compare it in that way.
Look,
because it won't make much of sense.
Mike, you need to understand that most of the mines, most of the mines here are owned by them. Once we start taking that in, subsequently, we will also end up controlling our money. Then we are not going to be in debt like they are.
Exactly. Yeah. You're right. Mm.
That is one thing that you need to do. Because that economy is depending on you being actually, you remember that we are saying we are paying for them when they go and borrow money. And again, they are taking our resources and sell and grow their economies.
Yeah.
But we cannot do that because they will come with weapons and threatens and economical impact on us. That is the world of democracy.
Yeah.
You need to connect all these dots. France is going to the IMF now.
Given that environment, is there anything that we have to do to get ourselves out of it? To position ourselves in a way where we can be where we want to be?
Now you're acting like a journalist.
The Africa we want.
Yeah, we are trying. We want to align ourselves with the BRICS. You know, America can no longer cannot invite Nigeria because the Chinese are there. They are said, and the Russian they are there. They are said, you are not coming here. He cannot invite Venezuela because the Chinese and the Russians are there. They said they are there. Mm. Those guys, they have their hand. They said, look, you guys are drawing. Come, we want to save you. You see? And it has been like that since the 1961 when the Cold War started between the Soviet Unions and the democracy and the Westerners.
Yeah.
It has been like that. You see? Now they have come with all the alternatives. We must now just say, look, you want to pay whatever you have, we are going to this site where everything is based on mutual agreement.
Mm.
Yeah. So, my friend, democracy, just democracy.
Yeah.
This world is owned by the deep states and whatever. Even the Americans themselves, they don't know whether they own their countries or whatever. Because there's APEC there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, man.
All right. We are speaking like that because you want to analyze and cut to make the story short.
Exactly.
But if we have an opportunity to explain everything, how these things is being run, then we will be able to answer and make somebody understand as to how the world is being run, especially in the world of democracy.
Yeah.
The America has been going around, made as a policy in the world to protect the dollars and the whole means of the economies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks, man.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for contribution, man.
Yeah, look for the favorite quote for Henry Kissinger. Henry Kissinger.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know that?
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah.
The one that said, diplomacy must always be escorted by the military.
Yeah.
When you are discussing something with him, the military is at your door.
Exactly. All right, man. Thanks for coming through.
Mm. All right. What is the time?
Good morning. You have 3 minutes.
Bom dia, família. Muito obrigado e tudo bem.
Mundo. What is
a democracia, a democracia, meu irmão, é dinheiro. A democracia é dinheiro.
So,
I'm fine, my brother. How are you?
All right.
Mm. I thank you to give me opportunity to say something.
You're 2 minutes.
Mm. Yeah, some of these laws, they are too old for them to be used today.
Yeah.
You see, even we have the law of the fishery, like which I was created 1952-3 there. If you cross the border and catch fish in Namibia, your fee or your penalty is 200.
Maybe it was still working. Why change something that is working?
No, it was working, but it's abusive. You know, you want to mine to come to Namibia to catch fish, yeah. Even though we catch you, because you all pay 200, and how much are you getting from that abusing?
Yeah.
So meaning that you're always gaining. So some of those laws need to be looked at to see.
But the thing is, even if you change the law and you are not, let's say for example, you were paying, we're talking about land the other day, or NIDA that is actually leasing it at $1. Let's say for example, now you're leasing it at 200 or 500 or whatever, 1,000. But if you are not, if you're still not enforcing that law that you have changed, then you're still not doing anything.
You know, just have a look on the 19 whatever, on the colonizer time when they come into Africa.
What
do they have done to Africa? And if you look now today, they are fighting against China. Where is China's quiet? Things are growing. Roads are being built, so infrastructure is going on.
Mm.
You know? So this is what we want. So when they come here, they come with guns when they want to fight.
But you
have like Chinese come here
That's about some 30 or 40 or 50 years ago. You know what can you do now for yourself? Huh?
What I can do now? Change the system which are not profitable enough for my country, and create a system which are a win-win situation.
Yeah.
Look, before those years, was it difficult even somebody who lives in the village to charge a phone? You don't have even a solar power system. Don't have. But in the system of rich Chinese, look what's going to Africa. Is even in the remote area. Somebody can buy your smartphone and can charge your phone through your solar system.
But what does that do? But what that does is this. It's already taken up your, this is something that you were supposed, what we now do that you can be able to charge. This is something we would have already people who can create this solar, you can create easily solar panel, a smaller solar panel that can be able to charge, whatever, to charge your phone. That's not something that now we're looking at. Hey, look at what China is doing for us. No. This is something that we should have been doing already 20 years ago. So they have taken up, that already has taken up. You're bringing a product from outside, which you would have done to create job. That's exactly the thing.
I can get you.
Yeah.
But it was better when you come here. You think about a win-win situation. So when you just came, think about yourself. You forgot about like it. Africa does not exist. Is our stop and shop. You just come and hide, get what you want and go.
Yeah.
And that's not what the Chinese are doing today. There's a difference between the Chinese system and this other, I don't want to mention their names.
Yeah. Well, the Chinese are just advancing their interest. So they are not here for some kind of a charity because they love Namibia. They are just advancing their interest. They're looking at the need of their own country. It's for you not to be able to say, am I benefiting from this? Yeah?
Yes, that's what we have to look to say. Are you benefiting from this system? Or which system do you prefer now? You prefer the one of the colonies which I put you like 1953, you don't talk with you don't move in this road, you must go to the where the black community is, or you prefer the system which are telling you to say, okay, even though I'm eating, but I want you also to be part of it.
No, I don't prefer any one of them. I prefer the one I am in charge. you know.
And this is the problem now. You know, if you want to be in charge, but you don't understand the system of the capital, how do you be in charge by yourself?
Let's send people. Let's send our people to understand the system so that they
which
can
people
come
are you,
back.
You, yeah. Yes, yes. Yeah. You know, if you want to go far, go together with those who are doing well.
No, I'm not saying. I'm not saying I'm going to work. You should work in isolation with other.
Yeah.
No, that won't happen. You know, that will never. You never grow. You know, economy in that way. So, but it means that I am in charge of my resources. You know, just as those countries are in charge of their own resources. You know.
I get you. But anyway. Yeah. If you really want to grow,
yeah,
partner up with those who are doing well in their country. Because if you say you want to take over by yourself, this is the problem we have. Because the system which are jeopardizing Africa is in our hands. You get the money, but you don't know how to use the money.
Yeah, all right, man.
All right.
So we're eating up some other programs time. All right.
Okay.
No. All right. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for coming through, and thank you for all of you that have come through and that have contributed on the show this morning. That brings us at the end of unpacking the day. So we're gonna cross over to Windhoek to Mr. Franz Kukamati Okapofi. Let's go there. We cross there. And from me, Mike, have a good weekend and goodbye.